Donald Hall, the poet laureate of the United States of America. The Selected Poems of Donald Hall is out now. He collected them. He selected them himself, actually, from his like 20 volumes of poetry over the years. He's just a gold mine of wonderful verse. And he's with us all the way from New Hampshire, his hometown. And Donald Hall is on the line with us right now. Hi, Donald. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Is this early for you, or have you been up for like 3 hours already?
It's been late. I took a nap. I wake up early.
Yeah.
I don't mean to, but I do.
Yeah. Are we talking crack of dawn or before crack
about
of dawn?
About 6 or 7.
6 or 7, okay.
Yeah.
Is that by design?
It used to be 5 a.m., but yeah. I'm slowing down with old age now.
Yeah. Is that because, was your writing time, like when we, I know you stopped writing poetry now, but I mean,
yeah.
Does that come from writing poetry at?
Absolutely.
6?
I'm a total morning person.
Yeah.
And most of my grown-up life, I got up about 5 mm-hmm. and got to work.
Yeah. You got 5 and got to work at 6, and then you worked till what, 7 and quit?
I'd work a couple of hours on poetry and then interrupt, and I freelanced, you know, since 1975.
Yeah.
So I had to work on several books during the day,
yeah.
poetry and prose and so on. But poetry came first.
Poetry came first and came first in your life as well.
Absolutely.
Since you were, what, 13, your first poem?
12.
12.
14 when I got serious.
Yeah. So 12, do you remember what it was, the verse itself? Or what
absolutely,
it was? Yeah,
absolutely.
What was that?
I had, I liked horror movies, and a big boy next door, 14, told me I should read Edgar Allan Poe. So I did, and I wrote a poem called, Have You Ever Thought of the Nearness of Death to You? It follows you through the night. It screams at you all day until that moment when, in monotones loud, death calls your name. Yeah. Then is the end of all.
So pretty much a typical 12-year-old.
Nice morbid 12-year-old.
Girls, and death.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That, didn't you say, it's one time, cheerleaders and poetry, right?
Right. But high school cheerleaders.
Yeah, high school cheerleaders. But the poetry, does that help you get the cheerleaders? Did that work?
Well, it was supposed to work. It actually worked later, but it didn't when you were 14.
So you should have been a halfback. There's a poem about that, about the halfbacks got the cheerleaders. And,
yeah.
But you still have poetry, and they... Well, maybe they still have the cheerleader. I don't know.
I'm 87 now. I'm sort of past cheerleaders.
the right one, you know. It's always the right one, I think, is the question. What a wonderful collection. How hard was it to select? I mean, it's not a huge, it's a slim volume.
I really enjoyed it. It's a very short one. Mm-hmm. It's, 10 years ago, I published what I call a selected, mm-hmm. and it was about... 8 times longer than this one.
Yeah.
I sort of put in everything I had a nice feeling for, mm-hmm. but this time I tried to take the very best in my mind and also help by other people's opinions. And mm-hmm. I found it surprisingly easy to do. And months ago I did it, but I still like my judgment.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have it.
Yeah. Did you tire of some of yourself in the intervening years and to just pick fewer poems because that one wasn't that good after all?
I really didn't hear you just
now. Oh yeah, I'm saying, had you tired of yourself in the intervening years so that you only picked fewer poems because those are just the ones you still liked?
Yeah, I took the ones I still liked.
Yeah,
they're from very different points of life.
Yeah.
The first one was written when I was 25, was the first one in the book,
mm-hmm.
and. Then the last to go into my 80s. But really, poets tend to be at their best, not when they're kids, but middle age. 50s, maybe 60s.
Yeah.
And that's probably the bulk of my work in here.
Yeah, so middle age is good for something. It's good for poetry.
right.
Not so much other things. But after 80, you can still write essays, right? Is that pretty?
I've been able to, and I've enjoyed very much writing prose.
Yeah.
I feel that I got stronger in it as poetry left me.
Mm-hmm. Is it? But why not poetry after 80?
It's sex, actually. Poetry, the sound of poetry is really very erotic. Mm-hmm. And as inevitably the testosterone gets lower. So
it was. You did say sex. I thought for a moment I didn't hear that. It's all sex? Is that what you say?
Yeah. And prose, not quite so much. You can write that with your brain. You don't need the rest of you.
I see. Okay. So an essay you can write about something other than sex. And so
that it isn't that my poetry is only about sex.
No.
It can be about anything, but it embodies it in the sound of the poem. That's my entryway into poetry, through the sound of it. Delicious, tongue-pleasing diphthongs.
All right, you can just stop now, Don.
I won't go any further.
That's quite enough. We've had quite enough of that. And you say your first poem was, is My Son the Executioner, the first poem of this collection?
Yes.
At age 25, and that's when your son was born.
That's right. Yep. He's 61 now.
61, yeah. And it's once again, even when you're 12, you're thinking about death and stuff, but My Son, My Executioner.
Yeah.
That's an unusual take.
I know. I was surprised to have that notion when my boy was born. But I'm not surprised now.
That's 61. Yeah, now you see what you meant, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you mind, do you mind reading one or two?
Not at all. I'd love to.
Yeah. Could you start by reading that one? I think that's so interesting.
Could I do what?
Could you read My Son, My Executioner first?
Oh, sure.
Whatever you like.
I have to fiddle a bit to find it. But
Go ahead and fiddle. It's right in the beginning on page one.
I know that. It's
it shouldn't be hard
to find. Easier to find fiddling than possibly anything else.
Yeah.
I'm old enough so that it's hard to turn pages.
Yeah.
On the right page. And here we are.
Yeah.
My son, my executioner. My son, my executioner, I take you in my arms, quiet and small, and just to stir, and whom my body warms. Sweet death, small son, our instruments of immortality, your cries and hungers document our bodily decay. We, 25 and 22, who seemed to live forever, observe enduring life in you and start to die together.
Wow.
That's it.
That's amazing. And you say that surprised you to have those feelings.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Yeah.
Shortly before he was born, I began to have the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know at that time, way back, we didn't know what sex he would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I paced up and down outside the living room. You weren't allowed inside. And the nurse came out, and something was so amazing that I forgot to ask what flavor he was. His hair was a bright red. Neither my wife nor I had a touch of red hair. And there he was, this bright redhead, which he still is. And finally, when she came out of the nursery, I said, what kind is he? Now I learned I had my son, not my daughter.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The farm and your home, I mean, so much of your poetry is totally from you. I mean, you generally don't write poems that go through another speaker.
That's right.
It's all through you. I mean, that's difficult.
Almost entirely,
Yeah, it's very rewarding, but it must be quite difficult sometimes to not want to even pull some of those things out.
You have to live away from it for a while
to
see that you haven't made silly mistakes because you're so closely involved in the subject.
Yeah.
It's always taken me 6 months or a year before a poem is really finished.
Yeah. Do they gestate?
Yeah, I put them away for a while and look at them again. I'm talking in the present tense. Mm-hmm. But I always do it. And something like that is true with prose, too.
Mm-hmm. You're born a poet, right, I think is what you're saying, right? Because so you realized when you wrote your first one that, boy, this is what I should be doing, right? Was that?
Well, really, when I was 14, I decided that I would do it the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I've done it.
Well, if you hadn't done that, would you have been a ball player? Because I noticed baseball is a very big part of...
I love baseball, but I'm a terrible athlete.
Yeah. Did you give it a try? Might you have played
I tried a bit.
Might you have been with the Red Sox had you not been a successful poet?
After the age of 16, I never tried anything. Yeah. Well, I ran the 440 for a bit. And,
oh, you did, yeah.
I did all right, but I love baseball, but I don't know how to throw one.
Yeah. And if there's a recurring theme, is it perhaps Mount Kearsarge in New Hampshire?
Yeah, it's right out the window here.
Can you see it now from where you are?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's like your Fuji, isn't it? It's kind of a...
That's right. That's right. It's not terribly high, but it's cone-shaped, and it's in a part of the world which is really flat. So it sticks out and governs the landscape, and I've written about it not all my life, but for a good many years.
Yeah, and that's New Hampshire. And is your family farm, is that near Mount Kearsarge? Is that,
it's 5 miles away.
5 miles away, because that's all there. Where your grandfather, that wonderful poem where your grandfather is.
I'm sitting in the same sitting room that my grandparents and my great-grandparents sat in.
Wow.
And actually a granddaughter of mine will take it over when I die.
Yeah.
So they better keep on from 1865 onward.
Yeah. Could we get you to read one of those poems that involves this place and Mount Kearsarge, one of your choice, of course?
Yeah, okay, I'll have to look for it.
Okay.
I found it. Okay. I found the page, and I had to stir for it. There's one called Mount Kearsarge.
Right.
And I wrote it originally before I knew I could move back here.
Uh-huh.
I was a teacher at Ann Arbor in Michigan, and I wanted to live here, but I knew I couldn't. And I was wrong, thank goodness. Mount Kearsarge, great blue mountain ghost. I look at you from the porch of the farmhouse where I watched you all summer as a boy. Steep sides, narrow flat patch on top. You are clear to me like the memory of one day. Blue. The top of the mountain floats in haze. I will not rock on this porch when I am old. I turn my back on you, Kearsarge. I close my eyes and you rise inside me. Blue ghost.
It's wonderful.
There are those diphthongs I was talking about.
Yeah, you got every diphthong possible. That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
And another theme, leaves.
Another theme?
Leaves.
Okay, let's see.
Leaves are very big in your poetry. There are always leaves, and they're, there's always the leaves are falling and that sort of thing, but it's so profound. And your use of leaves is the most profound.
It's what is called affirmation,
okay.
And it's about getting old.
Okay.
To grow old is to lose everything. Aging, everybody knows it. Even when we were young, we glimpse it sometimes and nod our heads when a grandfather dies. Then we row for years on the midsummer pond, ignorant and content. But a marriage that began without harm, scatters into debris on the shore, and a friend from school drops cold on a rocky strand. If a new love carries us past middle age, our wife will die at her strongest and most beautiful. New women come and go, all go. The pretty lover who announces that she is temporary is temporary. The bold woman, middle-aged against our old age, sinks under an anxiety she cannot withstand. Another friend of decades estranges himself in words that pollute 30 years. Let us stifle under mud at the pond's edge and affirm that it is fitting and delicious to lose everything.
What is it, what is that one called? Approbation? That's approbation. Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. When you wake up in the morning and you're still waking up at 5, don't you have poetic thoughts? Or don't you have a phrase or an idea or something?
No. I used to.
Yeah.
And I would wake up and get right into my study.
Yeah.
And my late wife, whom I spoke of there, mm-hmm. Would get up a bit later. And I would come out of my room and see her. And she'd say, "How goes it?" And I would say, "I am the worst poet who's ever lived in the United States. Everything I write is pure nonsense. Or I am immeasurably great." I would feel one way or the other each morning. And we both knew it didn't make any difference at all.
And you don't wake up that way anymore, huh? Thinking that you're the greatest.
No, I'm slow to wake up.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Have
you reached an acceptance of yourself and your talents and your skills?
Oh, more or less. It's kind of, you know, it's boring. I'm 87, and I've discovered that I've aged 5 years between 86 and 87. it's happening more rapidly now.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of fun, but it's also, you know, naturally kind of depressing. It happens to everybody. Yeah. And how come I live so long if I don't like it?
Yeah, good point. And what if you live to be 200? There's a great poem here about the 200-year-old man.
Excuse me, I didn't hear.
Yeah. Is that in here?
I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, the 200-year-old man in this.
Oh, right. Yeah. I wrote that in my 50s. I'm still waiting really to turn 200. But.
Yeah, yeah. Would you care to read us another one, one of your choice, or?
Oh,
are you read out?
No, let me read all now. I'm getting tired. But I would love to read a late. I've spent most of my life writing feverish. Mm-hmm. But late in my life, for a few poems, I went back to writing in meter. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for one now that I particularly like.
Something in meter.
I'm not sure just where it comes up. Oh, here I am. Now I got to find it on the page by the page numbers. I'm getting close. Ah, shoot.
It's all right. We have time.
I'm sorry.
That's not a problem. I'll look too, but I don't know meter when I see it.
You'll hear it, I hope. I passed you there. Okay, one more page. It's a poem called The Wish, and it's about the death of my dear wife, Jane Kenyon, who died when she was 47 up here. And I was 19 years older than she was. And her death, I didn't write about anything else for 5 years.
Right.
But she still comes up from time to time. This one is called The Wish. I keep her weary ghost inside me. Oh, let me go, I hear her crying. Deep in your dark, you want to hide me, and so perpetuate my dying. I can't undo the grief that you weep by the stone where I am lying. Oh, let me go. By work and women half distracted, I endure the day and sleep at night to watch her dying reenacted when the faint dawn descends like twilight. How can I let this dream forget her white withdrawal from my sight and let her go? Her body, while I watch, grows smaller. Her face recedes. Her kiss is colder. Watching her disappear, I call her again and again as I grow older. While somewhere deep in the catch of sleep, I hear her cry when I reach to hold her. Oh, let me go.
Okay. It's both beautiful and devastating.
Yeah, good, good. It was sort of a way of trying not to dwell on her every moment of the day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I still, I'm with her every day.
Sure.
But it's 20 years ago now.
Yeah. And you were each other's best critics. That's among other things. That was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, she was very good.
Yeah. Did you ever not use something that she thought was not good?
I'm sure I
probably did. Huh?
I did occasionally, and she did to me. But we helped each other enormously.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, good.
Poet Laureate, I mentioned that, but it was just for a year. What happened there? Did they have to let you go, or?
I didn't do enough. I was disappointed with myself.
You were.
Yeah.
So you quit.
Well, they wanted me to go 2 years, but I just saved it to one because I was dissatisfied with what I did.
Yeah. What is a poet laureate supposed to do? Open supermarkets with poems?
It's sort of the promotion of poetry. But there are particular things. You judge contests.
Oh.
You do a certain number of readings. You get the name of the poets for some other readings. Mm-hmm. There are things, and I did them all.
Yeah.
But I sort of got low that year, and I didn't do nearly so much promotion as I wanted.
Did you feel better about being Poet Laureate of New Hampshire? Was that more? That was a little
I did
closer
that.
Closer to home.
Poet Laureate of New Hampshire. One thing I felt very good about in terms of promotions and recognition. One year, President Obama put a medal around my head, the National Medal of Art, and that was wonderful to be at the White House and actually to meet him and, of course, the other honorees. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting pretty tired now. Can we draw to a close?
Yes, we certainly can. Donald, thank you so much for taking the time. And this is a wonderful collection. Everyone should get this. The Selected Poems of Donald Hall. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Donald Hall, ladies and gentlemen.